Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. The first chapter of Genesis. So a few years ago, I was at Big Bay, at the Thunder Bay Inn. In the lobby, we were meeting with some medical providers. We invited a psychiatrist from our community, who at that time was working with the hospital, and to give us some encouragement and suggestion about how to work our own lives, how to take care of ourselves, and of course, the folks that we were working with. And he said to us, something I have carried with me for now years. He said, you know, we're all living narratives. We are all living a story. We all are living a story, and here's the problem. As we grow older, the story changes. Things happen. And all of a sudden, there's what we call dissonance. Doesn't fit together. In Seattle, I was visited with a friend of mine who was an architect. He was a climber, a mountain climber in his spare time. He had climbed Mount Rainier 20 seasons. And we were living near the university. He stopped by in his car and he came out with crutches. I said, "Walt, what happened?" He said, "You know, I've climbed Rainier 20 times, and there's a particular crevasse. It's not that far up the mountain. It's probably, you know, still within maybe a quarter mile of the top of the mountain, but it's a crevasse. It's about 3 feet, a little under 3 feet. I've measured it several times, and I've jumped it 20 times. And I just turned 50 this last December. My mind jumped it. My body didn't. I missed the crevasse by 3/4 of an inch. I went down 15 feet, hit the ice, and here I am." So we know from our own experience, this is quite true, that we get stuck in stories that change. The people we love change. The people, the situations that we remember change. And all of a sudden, we're living some story that's not working. So the great religions of the world try to address this. They give us a big story to live with so that our little stories can change a little bit as they come and go. But this is the opening story, the opening bell to the Jewish Christian story. It is the gong. It's the symbol. It's the opening trumpet. And God saw what he had done and created, and it was good. It was good. So, in music, those of you who are in the musical world know, you know that in a symphony there is a motif, a theme, and then there are different suites that come in and out. Music slows, music speeds, but it always comes back to the motif. It comes back. It comes back. Now, the great religions have their great stories. Buddhism, for instance, has a story which is life is suffering. Life is suffering. That's the first one. Part of that story is you live with compassion. That's how you live. But the Jewish Christian contribution to the human experience is this particular story. It's not that the Buddhists are wrong. It's that this is another part of the story, and it's a powerful one. And God saw that all that he had made, it was good. So here's the problem. How do you hold on to that in the world in which we live and in the lives in which each of us are living? How do we plug into that? How do we connect with that story that can give us energy that allows us to live our day-to-day lives? Well, I've got three strategies for you that I brought this morning for you. Three strategies. The first one is practice rituals and prayers of gratitude. Now, we say prayers and do rituals of gratitude. We don't feel them oftentimes. But you have to remember, this is all practice. It's practice. Sometimes, however, we're going to have moments where we understand what all this means. Like, yeah, this is it. This is the song. Now, I had such an experience in San Diego with a friend that I grew up with here years ago. We were near La Jolla, and that's a high-end part of San Diego. He said, John, I'm going to bring you to a fish taco place. It's amazing. So he brought me there. It's a fast food place, but very high scale, packed full of people, jammed, crowds, music, just the walls were shaking. So we go up and order our food, and I return to our table with my friend, and I walk by these two women. And these two women are sitting at their table. They both have their heads bowed. They have their hands around their food. And then they continue their meal. Well, I sat down, and I had to find out, so I got up and I went back to them. And I said, excuse me, could I ask a question? They said, well, of course. I said, what were you doing there? Were you praying? And they said, yes. And I said, are you nuns? And they said, no, we're not nuns. But that moment, if you find me in a fast food place here in Marquette, you watch for me. I'm going to be bowing my head. If you see me at Bodega, if you see me at Iron Bay, before I take a fork of food, my head is bowed because of that five-second encounter in San Diego. Practice rituals and prayers of gratitude. There are other experiences that teach us about this. I had one here. Actually, it was a conversation that occurred outside this congregation, but it has to do with a woman who sat right where you are in the back here, the back pew, Fred. I watched a woman 30 years ago. She has since left this community, and she and her husband have long gone and have died. She was a cocaine addict, and so was he. He had been in treatment, nine different treatment programs. Nine. They couldn't hold it together. So I'd gotten to know her, and I could not understand why she came to Messiah, to this particular, or any congregation. I could not figure it out. She would always sit there and leave, wouldn't talk to anyone, no conversation. No coffee, no participation in anything. I knew she had a couple of kids, small children. But she just sat, and then she left. So finally, after many months, after I'd gotten to know her story, I was talking to her one day, and I said, listen, I have to ask you a question. Why do you come to church? Why do you come? You never talk to anybody. You just come and you go. And she said, I'll tell you why. I have two children. I'm a failed mother. I am a failed person. There is no reason why I am alive right now. So, each week I need to go one place and say thank you to something or someone that I'm alive. I never walk into a church since that. I've never walked into a church since that moment where I know there's somebody here. That somebody among you has that prayer of thanks. So, second strategy, First of all, prayers and rituals of thanksgiving. Practice them. One day you'll understand if you don't understand now. Second strategy, remember the N-peak rule. The N-peak rule comes from the hospice community and palliative care community. It's coined by a physician by the name of Utpal Gandhi, who wrote Being Mortal. And this is what he teaches us. After having served and worked with hundreds of dying people, these providers have concluded that there is what we call an N-peak rule. And that rule is how you die is going to depend how people remember you. If you have a hard death, that's how you're going to be remembered. It's hard. Had a hard death. If you have people surrounding you, or you're able after your death for people to somehow rebuild, then the end peak rule is, yeah, it was good. Hard. It was good. So how does one live the end game rule or the end peak rule? How does one live that? You live that every day. You do not live in the past. You do not live in the present. You have no control over some of those things. What you have is not right now. You have today. You have now. See? You live now. You live now. Acts of kindness, acts of gratitude, acts of justice. Now. That's the end peak rule. There's a third strategy that you can access this power of Genesis, this promise that all is good. This came to me just about 4 days ago. I was talking to a friend of mine down in Menominee, and he said, John, are you aware that the Greek translation of this particular passage doesn't use the word good? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, well, there's the Latin translations, there's the Aramaic translations, there is the Hebrew translations, but there is a Greek Orthodox translation, and here's what it said. And God saw everything that he had made and said, it was beautiful, and it is beautiful. It is beautiful. So 3 weeks ago, I was in New Mexico on the edge of the Sangre de Cristo mountain range, and I was outside a monastery going for a walk with two friends I haven't seen for years, and we were there for a retreat, and we're walking along, we're laughing, we're engaged in conversation. All of a sudden, this couple, they were a married couple, Kim says, John, stop. I said, okay. She said, did you hear that? I said, no, I didn't hear anything. She said, listen. So we all listened. That's it. She said, an orange-throated warbler. She was a birder. That's an orange-throated warbler. I completely missed it. She had to point out the beauty, see? I couldn't see it. I was busy in my head, my memories. The beauty was right there, that beautiful bird song. Could not hear it until she reminded me. So the next day, I'm walking with a physician from Boston who's going to be here at Messiah next September. And I'm walking with Greg, and we're going down near the same path. And he says, hold it, John. Freeze. Don't move. So, okay. He said, look. And he kneels down, and there is a beetle. And he said, look at this beetle. And he took the beetle, and he just moved the beetle off to the side, and then we got up and continued. walking. So you can find these moments of beauty, and all of us need to help each other find them. So today, Sarah, Elise, Devin, and Esme, we're going to honor them. They're high school graduates. We're going to honor them today. They're going to be living a story. You're leaving one story now, and you guys are going to be moving into a new story, and it's not going to be the story you think. We want to remind you that. But it's going to be perhaps a hard story, but it will be a good story. That's the promise. And each of you, as you leave here today, you're living your story. It's not the story you think. It's deeper than that. But we're here to say to you, it's a good story, and it's a beautiful story. Amen.